Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, give him praise. Give him praise. As our worship team prepares to move into another worship song, I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, God was speaking to me while I was praising, and he said, you know, we need to come around the altar. I said, okay. You know, I have to admit, I was a little reluctant to leave there and come up and say that, but God said, you go. And as soon as I moved out and I came up here, I put my hand on my wife's shoulder to let her know God decided to speak. And I don't think he just made that time to speak. I think it was a ordained time, though, of course, that God says, I'm going to speak, but he was waiting for the pastor to come up and say, listen, we're going to go into another worship song, and we're going to do exactly what he just asked us to do. Raise your hand and come around the altar, give him thanks and give him praise, because he is good and he is your Father in heaven. What a beautiful name today. Hallelujah.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you a little story if you give me a minute. You know, your pastor follows other pastors. I love them, and I follow several ministries. And I saw something this past week that just moves my heart. I just want to share that with you if you don't mind. You know, just think about something in your life this morning that's really valuable. Like, I mean, a possession type thing, like a watch or a ring, or some of these ladies wear these beautiful earrings and necklaces or whatever, something that's really, you know, you really love. I trust my wife loves her wedding ring, right? But let's just say you fell on some really hard times financially, and you needed some quick cash to get you by. And so you go down to this local pawn shop. You ever remember the pawn shops? You know, you can go in there and you turn something of value in, and they'll give you money on loan. You go back at some point later and you pay them off and you pay the interest, you get your possession back. So let's just say you go down to the local pawn shop, whether it be in Canton or Masson, someplace, right? You turn in this valuable thing, and they hand you the money that you need for that week or that month, and you got whole for the week or month or whatever, and you can buy food or pay your bills or whatever, but you lost this possession that was very valuable to you. And one of your friends found out that you did that, or maybe even your pastor. Let's just say the pastor found out. And because of the love I have for you, I go down to the pawn shop, and I say, how much is that? And I pay your bill. And I leave the possession there. I just leave it there. I leave and I go home, and, you know, you don't know about it yet. You show up to see me one day. It's the next day or so. And I say, listen, I love you, and I did something special for you. And then each day you start to come back. What is that special thing, Pastor? What is that special thing that you did for me? And you show up every day and day in and day out. So finally I said, I'm going to tell you what that is. And I say, listen, I went down to this pawn shop downtown Canton, found out that you had put something in there. You needed some cash. I just paid it off. I just paid for it. It's debt free. But all you have to do now is go receive it, because I left it there. The next day, there's a knock on my door, and it's you again. And you're saying, Pastor, I want that possession. I want that thing that you took out. I would love to have it back. And I said, I already told you, go down and just get it. It's debt-free. You can go get it. And then the next day, you show up again. Pastor, I really want that possession. I really want it. I need it back. So go get it. It's yours for the taking. It's been bought and paid for by me, and that's okay. Just go get it. See, church, that's exactly what Jesus is. See, Jesus purchased us on a cross. He paid a debt for us. But the problem is we do something that we shouldn't do. See, he's not going to do it again because it's already done. But you still have to take it. You still have to receive it. See, he purchased our salvation on that cross. But, you know, more happened on the cross than I think some of us realize. And let me tell you, when he went to the cross, he bought our salvation, right? The Bible says he purchased. You don't have to keep coming back and begging for anything. You just have to receive what he's already done for you. But see, that word salvation in the Greek means sozo. Sozo. And when you look up what that means, it means saved. It means healed. It means delivered to. Yeah, it does. You flip over to the Hebrew and it's yasha, and it means the same thing. You've been set free, delivered, healed, and saved. But sometimes, your pastor included, we pray like this. You can always recognize if there's someone begging to have something back that's already been bought and paid for. We pray like this: God, please do your will in my life. Lord, please do that. Please heal me. Please deliver me. God sits up there and says, listen, I ain't going to do it again. I've already done it once. You just got to come back and get it. That's all you got to do. I saved you. I healed you. I delivered you. Just come and get it and receive it. So here's how we need to pray all the time. We don't go and say, begging God, please give it to me. Lord, please give it to me. We should go to the throne of the living God, and we should be saying, thank you, I'm taking what you already gave me. That's what I want today. I want the healing that you already bought for me. I want the deliverance that you already bought for me in my family, my marriage, my job. I want all of that back, but I'm not going to come praying, saying, God, please, and beg anymore, because I'm done begging. I don't need to beg. He's already done it. So he says, come and say thank you, because that invokes the faith in your life. Even though you may not see it yet, it invokes the faith. Well, what are you saying? What? Please. I'm not telling you not to say please. But when you say thank you, the please part is already assumed. You've already said it, because you're thanking him for something that he's already done. So there, the please showed up way, way long ago. Now we're just going to receive what he's already done. You with me, church? I say we pray like that. We pray that we are already receiving what he's already done. So let's pray that thank you prayer that we've talked about in some sermons in the last few weeks. Let's talk about thanking him for the things he's done, the things you're going to be receiving here very shortly, because you're going to invoke your faith to get it, because he's already bought it for you. Father God, in Jesus' name, church, raise your hand with me. Church, God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, that you bought salvation for me. I thank you, Lord God, you bought healing for me already. Lord God, I thank you and praise you that you bought deliverance for me. Lord God, I pray all those things in my life and my family and my job, Lord God, all these places that I need. I thank you, Lord God, even though I don't see it yet. Lord God, I thank you. It's going to show up this afternoon. I pray, Lord God, it shows up tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and then back on Sunday, Lord God. I will be faithful, Lord God, and continue. I'm not begging anymore, Lord God. I'm just going to thank you for what you've already paid for. Lord God, I pray right now that power to show up and continue in Cross Point Church, not only here in our worship center, but online. Lord God, just fill us with salvation, fill us with your healing, and fill us with your deliverance and your freedom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Give him praise today, church. Hallelujah. As you're making your way back to your seat, you grab a couple of people and you say, I am saved, I am healed, and I am delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am saved, I am healed, and I am delivered. Every time we see that in the Bible, we see the word sozo, healed, saved, and delivered. I don't know, folks, I feel like I've been in church already, right? I just love to see some of our youth come up during worship time and come around the altar and start praising heaven. Yeah. Thank you, youth, for leading us today. Thank you so much for leading us. Sometimes, you know, some of us older folks need some of the younger folks to show us how to do it right, right? Take a big, deep breath. God's in the house today, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, folks, I just want to introduce to you a speaker today. You're going to have the opportunity to bless him. Pastor Mike's already talked about how you can bless his ministry. He'll give you all the details. Now, Zach is a global worker, and so he's in a very sensitive area of the world, so we don't mention that. We don't tend not to mention his last name. We tend not to mention where he's at. He'll fill you in on all that. You know, certain people are called, and certain people are called to go to places that nobody else wants to go to. And that's where he's at, a place that he'll talk about. So, church, do your pastor a big favor and welcome to the pulpit of this church our friend, Zach.
Well, thank you, Pastor Brad. Thank you all for having me here. I'm Zach, and some of you know me and my family. I grew up in this church, so it's really cool to be back here. So thank you for this opportunity. My wife, Michelle, and I, and our now almost 4-month-old baby are global workers in the largest country in the Middle East. Can I get that? Yes, thank you so much. The largest country in the Middle East. And we've been there for about 2.5 years, and the Lord's doing amazing things. And the Lord first called both of us to be global workers when we were young. I was in about fourth grade in this church when the Lord first asked me to go overseas and be a global worker. And that was where I said yes. And so growing up here, I had the opportunity to be growing in that call that the Lord placed on my heart. We have another retired global worker in here somewhere, and I probably heard him speak at one point when he visited. So thank you, Pastor John, wherever you are. And so I felt called when I was in fourth grade and have followed that. It has led me to another country in the Middle East. Michelle was 16 when the Lord first called her to global work. And we've both followed that. And the Lord led her through that, first to Southern Asia, and then later to work with East Africans in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where we went to college. And for the past 2.5 years since we got married in 2019, the math adds up somehow, we have been in the largest country in the Middle East, and the Lord is doing amazing things there. He's doing a new work, and it's just been astounding and wonderful and a joy to be a part of what the Lord is doing there. In 2020, our team planted a local gathering of local believers, and we've been able to walk alongside them for the past few years. We've gotten to hear people confess Christ as Lord at our dining room table. We've done Bible studies with seekers and new believers. We have gotten to share the gospel, the good news of Christ, with a lot of new friends, people who have never heard before. And we get to share the story of the Bible, get to answer their questions, tell them about who Jesus is and what we believe. The Lord is doing amazing things in this country. And it's traditionally been a very closed country, and it still is a dark country. It is less than 0.1% Christian. And there are no churches in the whole country. It's a dark country. It's the birthplace of one of the world's major religions. And we live just an hour away from where that happened. But the Lord is at work. And over the past few years, Michelle has gotten to study the Bible with her language tutor. She's been able to spend literally hundreds and hundreds of hours studying the Bible, reading and learning stories from the Bible. And this is a friend from the country who, until they met in 2022, had never heard the gospel, had never seen or read the Bible. She'd wanted to since she was a little girl, but there was no access to the Bible or access to the gospel in the country. And so over the past few years, they've been able to study. They read through John. They've shared stories. And they've shared life stories and gotten to know each other. They have laughed and cried together and become the best of friends. And we've seen this friend begin to fall in love with Jesus. But she hasn't come to accept him yet. She clings to the faith of her family, the faith that she's always known. She wants her religion and Christianity to both be true. But we know that they can't both be true. We know that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and the gospel is the truth. And so we pray for her. We long to see her accept Christ as Lord. And we know there are so many more just like her. We've met more like her who need to study the Bible for the first time, to hear the stories of the gospel, to meet a Christian, and to know who we are and what we believe, who Jesus is. And so we're going back, and we hope to go back next summer, and this time as a family of three. Don't worry about the picture, but this time as a family of three, we get to go back all together. And so we also can't go back with just our family. We need partners who will send us and stand alongside us as we go. And we're so grateful that Crosspoint is considering partnering with us. We need each and every one of you. And there are three main ways you can partner with us. They're pray, give, and come. The first is prayer, and it is the most important because things happen when we pray that wouldn't if we didn't. We've seen that time and time again as we've been in this country, how the Lord is answering our prayers and our partner prayers sometimes overnight. And so will you partner with us in prayer? Will you pray for us and our team, for the believers and the seekers in our country, that the Lord would be moving in powerful ways? The next is giving. Most global workers are fully supported by churches and by individuals. And so to be able to return to the country, we need to be fully funded. And so again, thank you that Crosspoint is considering this. And to be able to as a church, to be able to partner with global workers, the church needs to give. And so will you give to the work of the Lord overseas? Would you give to these places where there's no access, where they have never heard the gospel? Would you give to the church so that the church can partner with us and many more global workers? And the last is come. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the field. And so will you pray? Ask the Lord to send more laborers, to send people to work among those who have no access to the gospel. And will you pray and ask the Lord if he wants you to be one of those laborers, if he wants you to be that first Christian that someone meets that shares the gospel with them for the very first time? If you're interested in any of these ways of partnering, I have a table in the lobby. I'd love to connect with you more. So thank you. And now I'm going to share a little bit of a lesson that we have learned overseas. I've titled this message, Obedience and Hope. So we'll pray to start this out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we have come together in your house, that we get to worship you together as your body, that we get to hear you speak to us by your Spirit and by your word. Holy Spirit, anoint me to be able to speak your word. Let it not be my thoughts, but yours. And I pray that you would anoint the ears of everyone in this room and those online to hear what you have for them. Thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, obedience. Let me just start out by saying obedience is hard. I can share amazing things that the Lord is doing in our country, overseas, amazing things that we've been able to see and be a part of, and there is joy in that, but it's also hard to be there. It's hard to be away from family and friends. It's hard to be in a place that's a desert and is always hot. Right now it's winter, so you guys might be saying, oh, some heat would be nice. But where we are, it's like the hottest day of summer for 6 months, day in, day out, at night too, no break. So it's not all that great, the heat. And so that makes it hard to live there and be obedient. It's also a spiritually dark place, and there's spiritual warfare that we face that makes it hard to stay there. Things that affect our sleep and our thought life that make it hard to be obedient in staying and ministering where we are. And if we had our way, Michelle would also say this, if we had our way, we would not be in the Middle East. We would not be in a desert. We would probably be in the Midwest, where near our family, where the weather is nice, where we get snow because we actually like it. But the Lord has called us to be overseas, and we want to be obedient to him, even when it's hard. And I think all of us can agree from experience in our life that obedience is hard. We want to do what we want to do. We don't want other people telling us what we have to do. It can be hard to lay down our wills, our desires, even to the point of accepting Christ as Lord. It can be hard to follow the Spirit's leading when He wants us to share the gospel with a friend or a family member or a coworker. It can be hard to step out in obedience when the Lord calls us to something uncomfortable, to something new, to something we don't want to do. It can be hard to live in holiness, not giving in to the desire, to our own desires. Obedience is often hard. But we really shouldn't expect obedience to be easy, because it wasn't easy for Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, the night before Jesus is betrayed, obedience is hard for Him. It says, Jesus is saying, "Father, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I will, but what you will be done." That's a hard prayer of obedience. And in Philippians 2:8, it says, Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's hard obedience. And that's beyond what we're doing. In Hebrew 12, though, we see how Jesus was able to do this. What strengthened Him to lay down His life to the point of death. It says, "We look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Jesus had a joy that was set before Him that strengthened Him to go to the cross, to be obedient. Brothers and sisters, we are that joy. The salvation He brought us was the joy that Jesus was looking forward to when He was hanging on the cross suffering, and it helped Him to go through that. We are the joy that was set before Him, the salvation, the eternal life we have with Him. And God has given us a hope that helps us be obedient, that strengthens us to be obedient. Because hope helps us be obedient. First, I want to explain what I mean by hope. Because biblical hope is something that is certain. It's also often something specific, and that's kind of what I'm going to touch into today. Hope is looking forward to something that will happen. It's not like how we use hope. "I hope I win the lottery." That's not hope. That's not biblical hope. Hope is something that is certain, that will happen. The author, Eugene Peterson, who translated the Message Bible, he calls hope confident, alert expectation that God will do what He said He will do. Confident, alert expectation that God will do what He said He will do. Romans 8 talks about this as well. It says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed." We wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters. "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The redemption of our bodies is our hope." It's something God has promised, and we know that God always keeps His promises, so we hope for it. Titus 2:13 also talks about hope. It says, "We're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Christ's second coming is our blessed hope. And 1 John 3:2 and 3 says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, but what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. So let me tie those things all together. Our hope is the certain return of Jesus, and then its effects. Its effects on us, the redemption, the resurrection, the perfection and glorification of our bodies. That's right, perfect bodies. And on our world, a new creation. 2 Peter 3:13 says, according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That is a hope that helps Michelle and me day in and day out. Hope helps us be obedient. So I want to take a closer look at that last chapter at 2 Peter 3. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to stick in 2 Peter 3 for the rest of the, I think the rest of the service. So open your Bible so that you can read along. Now this is the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. So Peter isn't writing something new. He's writing something they know. Reminder. That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last day with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. So this chapter is finishing up a book, 2 Peter, which warns against false teachers. And one of the things that we read and learn is that the false teachers, one of their false teachings, was that Jesus wasn't going to come back. They said Jesus hasn't returned yet, so obviously he won't return. And if Jesus doesn't return, then there won't be any judgment, so we can live however we want. But Peter is showing the truth that judgment is a sure thing. God judged the world in the time of Noah. He also talks about Lot, so fire and water. He judged the world in the time of Noah, and he would finish his ultimate purpose for creation in a final judgment when Jesus comes back. And I'm going to say the obvious, this does not sound like hope. This is a little doom and gloom. I'm sorry. I'm getting to the hope part. Nobody likes talking about judgment. It's uncomfortable. It's real. There's another side to judgment, though. Let's continue with verses 8 and 9. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. God wants us to come to repentance. He offers something other than judgment. That's hopeful. Peter goes on, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, the day that Jesus returns. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will melt up, will burn up and be dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. When Christ returns, this world will pass away, and everything that has ever been done in it will be exposed. It will be known. What you have done in secret, what I have done in secret, will be exposed when the world is unmade. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought we to live in lives of holiness and godliness? So if everything is going to be made known, if judgment is coming, what sort of lives should we live? We should live lives of holiness and godliness. He says, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That is the hope that keeps us going. The hope that strengthens us to be obedient where we are. I believe that when Jesus returns, he will make all things new. He will recreate the earth, and there will be no more war, no more death, no more sickness or pain, no more tears. The deserts will bloom like gardens. All things will be perfect. There will be no more sin. That's worth living for. Our bodies, which are often so broken now, they will be resurrected and perfected. And we will live billions of years on the earth with those we love, with Christ, in a perfect world. That is what eternal life is. Eternal life is literally billions and billions and billions of years in a perfect world. It's hard to imagine, but if you start to imagine it, it gives you hope. It gives you hope that strengthens you to be obedient. This is why we are willing to be obedient even when it's hard. Why we continue to choose to be obedient when it's hard. We have hope, and hope strengthens us to be obedient. So what is God calling you to obedience in? What's your heart obedience? For Michelle and me, it's living overseas. It's leaving family and friends. It's being in a desert. It's sharing the gospel another time with a friend who might not want to listen. Scheduling another time with a friend who might not show up. It's going through another night with bad dreams because of spiritual warfare. That's the obedience that hope helps us with. When we have these things, we look to the day of the Lord when he comes back. We say, come, Lord Jesus. And we remember that. Hope helps us be obedient. So what's your obedience? Maybe you've never heard of this hope. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing it, and you're living without it now. Let me say, it's easy to receive. It's a free gift of God, just like Pastor was talking about. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of works, it's a gift of God, not of yourselves, so that no one can boast. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And you don't have to be obedient before you accept this hope. Obedience is accepting it. The Bible talks about faith, belief in Jesus. It talks about confession of sins, and it talks, actually more confession of who he is, and it talks about repentance, turning away from your sins. That's all the obedience you have to do to receive this hope. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you're interested in that, if this is the first time of your hearing of it, I'd love for you to talk to Pastor Brad, talk to Pastor Mike or Christine, talk to your youth leader, talk to someone that you trust about accepting this free gift, about this first step of obedience. You don't have to get your life right. You don't have to be obedient before you do this. This is the step of obedience that receives this hope. What else might the Lord be asking you to do? If you are a believer, if you've taken that first step of obedience, what's your current obedience? Is he asking you to step out in faith and share the gospel with someone? Share this hope with someone? Is he calling you to repentance and holiness, turning away even now from the things that you desire, leaving behind the ways of this world because they are unfit for the world to come? Is he speaking to you about being part of something bigger than what you're in now? Like he spoke to Michelle and me when we were younger. Is he asking you to share this hope with someone who's never heard, someone who doesn't have access to it, like he's called us, overseas, somewhere else? Hope will help you be obedient. Because obedience is hard. It's taken Michelle and me away from family and friends and good weather. It can be costly. This obedience cost Peter his life. It cost Paul his life. But hope, the hope we have makes it worth it. And the hope helps us be obedient. Romans 8, again, says, the suffering of this present, let me find it again. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. It's worth it to confess Jesus as Lord, leaving temporary pleasures of sin, giving up control of your life now for a perfect life of billions of years. It's worth risking loss or being made fun of now, because there's reward and there's honor forever in the age to come, in eternal life, this hope that we have. And the reward you have will compensate and it will not end. It's worth giving up an easy life now to share the gospel with people who haven't heard in other parts of the world, because there is time enough in the age to come, in eternal life, time enough for pleasures that far outshine anything you could have now. There will be time to enjoy whatever you give up. And not just you then would have this hope, but others will have this hope, and they will live forever with us, with the Lord, in a perfect world. Your friends, your family, and friends you'll make along the way can share in this eternal hope. So it's worth it, no matter how hard it is, and often it is hard. And fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on the hope that he gives us, helps us along the way. Hope will help you be obedient. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hope. We thank you for the sure promises that you gave us, that we will be saved if we confess you with our mouth, if we believe in you in our heart. We will be saved, and we can always trust what you say. We thank you for the hope that helps us when things are hard. Holy Spirit, stir in our hearts. Remind us day in and day out to fix our eyes on Jesus. Remind us to run with endurance the race you've set before us. Remind us to throw off the sins that cling to us, the things of this life that maybe aren't sin, but are weighing us down. Help us to throw those things off because of the hope that you have given us. Help us also as we share. Holy Spirit, empower us to be your witnesses of this hope and of eternal life of Jesus our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Now I'd like to end with the words of Paul. Just a little blessing. This is from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Brad. It's an honor to be here.
Amen. Thank you, Zach. Thank you. Thank you so much, Zach. Thank you. I think you all noticed that Zach is very young. What a blessing of youth, right? But he challenged us with a question today, and that was the same question that was challenged to him years back, and that question was, what are you going to do for the Lord, and are you going to be obedient? And when that question was proposed to him and Michelle, they did exactly what he said, and, you know, I just want to thank Zach and Michelle that they're going to a place that I'm not called to go to. That they were obedient and they did exactly what God called them to do. Folks, I don't think that we can really fathom how difficult that is. Not only to leave and go on the other side of the globe, to go to a country that doesn't want you, to people that hate you, and go to a place that you're going to instill Jesus as much as you possibly can to a group that doesn't want to even hear it. And then the risk of being there, especially at such a young age with a young baby. God has called him to go. Called. What is God calling you to do today? And are you going to be obedient to that call? Zach, I just want to thank you for coming, and I want to thank you for being obedient to that call and doing that, because the laborers are few, very few. Zach wanted to leave a few minutes at the end of our service time today so he could talk and meet with you out in the foyer. So you'll have the opportunity to gather around his table and talk to him a little bit more detail than he could do today, because he is in a very sensitive area, and we respect that. So you'll have some time, folks, to love on him and talk to him and whatnot. As Pastor Mike talked about this morning during the announcements, you have the opportunity to bless him and Michelle if you would like. Our missions committee will be meeting shortly. We're going to be talking about him and many other missionaries, because we have several that had moved off service because they retired, and so we're looking to add and bring our missions from 65 back up to 76. We've lost a few because they retired. So we'll talk about Zach, we'll talk about others, so you'll have the opportunity to get to know him. And if you want to bless his ministry, just like Pastor Mike talked about, you can go online at seapoint.church, and right up the top right corner of the website is a button that says Give Now. You can click that button, and you will see a drop-down menu there. Where do you want your offering to go? And Zach's name will be listed there. You'll see his name, and you can just click on that, and the money will go to Zach and his lovely wife for their ministry in another country, the largest country in the Middle East, right, as he mentions. Does that sound good? And if you know how to do this, if you know how to write a check, because some of us don't remember how to do it, right? If you remember how to sign your name, because a lot of us don't do that anymore, right? We don't sign names. We click buttons online. You can actually write a check and put it in the giving stations at the back of the worship center, and we'll make sure we get that money to them. You can make the check out to Cross Point Church, put in the memo section, Zach. We will know exactly what to do. We'll put it in the account. We'll ship it off to him. We get to ship it off to him electronically, so he gets the money probably before he even gets home today. so we could do that for him. Is that okay, church? Let's pray a prayer of blessing upon Zach and his family, and then we will dismiss you in freedom, and you can go out and spend a few minutes before you leave to live with Zach. Zach, you might as well make your way out into your table so you are ready to go. Father God, thank you. Father, I thank you right now that Zach and Michelle were just obedient, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that the call came from heaven and they were obedient to heed the call to go away from friends, family, Lord God, and go on the other side of the world to a place to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray you bless him and keep him. I pray, Lord God, that you keep him and protect him, Lord, and the new baby they have in their family, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that you are calling young people. Thank you for that, Lord God. I thank you that not only did you call, he answered. Thank you, Lord God. Bless him and his family. Bless this fine church, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me. We're going to close today's service so you can go out, bless Zach and his wife. We're going out today with freedom in our hearts. God bless you, church.
With the Spirit of the Lord.